Dan Campbell, who else? Firing them up after the game. That's what champions do. We'll get to the phones, 248-539-9797. Weekend overreactions at 7:02. If you want a little Michigan, Michigan State, we'll work it in. But the Lions are the headline. They are 6-1. They put 52 on the board yesterday, and they did it throwing for 61 yards. Special teams, turnovers, red zone execution. Lions beat up and battered the Titans. What was the Twitch message we got?
Oh, they, yeah, somebody watched a great movie over the weekend, and it was called Dismember the Titans.
There you go.
I love our Twitchers. Thank you very much. And once the cameras are turned on, you can hear us now. Can't see us, but once the cameras are turned on, you'll get a chance to see these this wonderful Washington Blazer.
Yeah. Marcus in East Point, good to hear from you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, man, I'm loving it. We just completely dismantled the last four teams we played. It wasn't even close. Yesterday was I thought Dallas was the most fun I had watching the Lions, but yesterday was just crazy. It was like everybody's scoring. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. And Khalif Raymond was on fire yesterday. I really enjoyed the game. Only question I got for John is, are they number one yet? I still think I asked you this for the last 4 weeks. Kansas City keeps winning. I understand they're champions, but they're barely winning. We're spanking teams. And I like 14, but I think 15 might happen. But you guys enjoy your day.
All right, Marcus.
John, I want to see the Lions number one in the power rankings.
So obviously you got them at number one, 6:35 Wednesday. You'll find out if I have him number one.
It's tough because Casey just keeps winning, and I understand his point. It's not the level of convincing. The Lions are putting up 40 and now 50 points. They're running trick plays. They're clowning. Ben Johnson said the well is deep with these trick plays. I believe him. I think he's got like 1,000 of these plays. It's ridiculous.
And at some point, you mentioned it's a level of convincing. To me, it's at some point during the season, it has to be a matter of conviction. Are you so bought in from what you have now seen with your own eyes? Do you believe the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL, not just the NFC North, not just the NFC, but AFC, NFC, every division, every team? Are they number one of 32?
Let's get back to the phones. Marlo in Detroit, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. First of all, congratulations on a great Lions win. It showed us two things. The Lions are, first of all, playing very complimentary football in all three phases of the game was the first thing it showed us. The second thing it showed us is that we are in desperate need of help with the pass rush, because I believe had we been playing against a decent quarterback, it would have been much harder. We may have even lost that game. We desperately need help in the pass rush. One more thing to say, everybody in the league is trying Lions-type trick plays, and it just ain't working out for them. I love it.
Marlo,
you're right. You're right on both points. You're right on how much fun it is, and no one can do what the Lions are doing, and you're also right about the fact that it would be negligent for them not to do something about the edge position.
Was he referring to the Bears offensive lineman running the football yesterday?
Oh, God.
Because it's that, I think that might have been the one. Unbelievable.
Too cute.
Guys, my quick takeaway is we are seeing, this is kneecaps. This entire thing is kneecaps. They're such a team. They're such a cohesive unit. You mentioned the Hail Mary debacle by the Bears defensive back yesterday. The Lions would never have a player on the field acting that way, where he's already celebrating the win and taunting the fans, and he's not in on the play until he goes over and tips the ball to the guy that who caught it and beat you. Caleb Williams' behavior on the sideline yesterday, thinking, wow, I just won this game with this team. Yeah, you were 10 of 24 passing, dude. You didn't win the game. The running back scored on the play. So I just think the mentality of the team, the culture, everything, this is... It's 53 all in.
When you have this culture, and then you have what happened at the end of the year last year, this is the focus that you get when you're up 17, you think you're going to the Super Bowl, and you don't. Now all of a sudden, it's Penei Sewell who has watched that game, and it angered him. And it's the rest of it's the core of guys. Yes, there are new guys on this roster that weren't a part of that. They didn't feel that, but they feel it through the guys that were there. The sense of urgency for this team we are seeing, especially after what happened last year, and then they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I guarantee you, if you ask all of those guys right now, that one eats at them.
Well, the need, though, the caller alluded to, it's so clear and obvious that they need a pass rusher to just make sure that this does happen, I think, you know, that they fulfill their destiny. I really believe this is coming down to, if you don't address it, when you finally play the top quarterbacks in the league, whether it be Mahomes or Jackson,
it's going to cost you.
It's going to cost them. And it's just so obvious for Brad Holmes to do this that I believe it would be a total failure if he didn't make at least a semi-significant move.
Yeah, it just feels like you're in F them picks mode, or at least you should be, right? You are at the very top of the mountain here. And I don't really see a point in keeping a draft pick when you can go win a Super Bowl. I mean, I just think that point gets drilled in every single time you watch this team. Do not let this season go to waste.
And I think yesterday should have been an eye-opener about the edge. And we heard from Dan Campbell last week.
Yeah, it's not a secret.
It's not a secret. And he identified it as, yeah, we need help. We're not getting enough production. They didn't do anything last week. Now all of a sudden against Tennessee, okay, and they're not going to gloss over it. I'm sure we'll hear it again from Dan today. We'll hear it when we talk to him tomorrow. Even though they won 52-14, it wasn't because of pressure on the quarterback. And Mason Rudolph, is he a good backup? Yeah, I think he's a reliable backup, could come in and make some plays, maybe get you out of the game, do all the things that we talk about for backup quarterbacks. But I think it also identifies the fact that if you give almost any quarterback in this league time, whether it's a starting quarterback or a backup quarterback, they will pick you apart. What did he do with Calvin Ridley in the first quarter? I mean, it was 118 yes. yards in the first quarter, and that's Mason Rudolph. Now, Calvin Ridley, I think, is a good route runner. He's a good receiver. He hasn't been as productive, and it's the whole gambling thing. Yeah, but should be a huge eye-opener to everyone that unless you pressure quarterbacks in the NFL, almost every single one of them are going to pick you apart. Fortunately, they had some great plays on special teams that put this game out of reach, put Mason Rudolph and the Tennessee Titans in a position that wasn't favorable for them to operate their offense.
Yeah, and they got some opportunistic takeaways too, which has got to be part of this deal. I thought Amik Robertson got picked on a little bit, but in fairness, if they're getting a little more pressure, you don't have the time
right.
to pick on any weak spot in a given secondary. 248-539-9797 is the number. We've got Keith in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, John, this is what I'm concerned about is Decker. He didn't give up 5 sacks in the last 2 weeks. And he could have caused Jeff Goff's injury. And I do agree that they need a pass rusher bad. If they're going to take it to the next level, they're going to have to correct the offensive line. The running game is good, but the pass protection was awful yesterday. And the edge rusher, Pascal was out, and I'm concerned about his health because, you know, he had cancer in the foot. And so that's my take. But other than that, they obliterated the Titans, and they've been winning by 35 points the last 4 games. So I'm not too concerned, but I'm concerned about Decker and the defense pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more in the next segment. I am mildly concerned, Keith, with you about Taylor Decker and his the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he gave up 2 sacks yesterday, right? Yeah. One early in the game, and then Goff's taping up his ankle. We don't want to see anything like that.
Right.
So early in the game, Taylor Decker, your breakdown of concern on the left side of the line.
The last 2 weeks, a little bit concerning. I do think he is a pro's pro, and Hank Fraley, I think, will get things fixed up front. He's no Penei Sewell. And we don't expect him to be Penei Sewell. He's going to be facing, you know, really tough pass rushers. I'm not as concerned, I think, as some people are. The second sack, I believe it was the one that he, you know, gave it up inside. To me, that one was more of a group sack because Jared Goff had to step up in the pocket. And it was one where, should he have anticipated the inside move,
maybe,
or the fact that Goff was, yeah, okay, maybe some of that anticipation should be there, but I put that one more as an O-line sack than it is a Taylor Decker sack.
They gave him the extension, and I don't think a lot of people talked about, you know, he's not a young player. His best football may be behind him. That doesn't mean he can't give you a couple good productive years here. And I'm still in the camp of, I think he's going to give you good productive years.
He's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's a pro's pro. And he understands that you can't be that guy that gives up two sacks in a game or four sacks in 2 weeks. Like, you just can't be.
Well, and I do think some of this is a good adjustment by the coaching staff. They said, all right, we're just going to run it early then. All right. Like, that's how you help an offensive lineman that maybe isn't having his best on the outside. Right. And John, the 70-yard touchdown by Jahmyr Gibbs, you know where they ran it? Off tackle left. And Decker's block was, you know, nothing like amazing, but he did a good job on that play. And I think that was a good call by the Ben Johnson to say, hey, let's get the defense on their heels a little bit. Let's not be playing, you know.
That was more obviously Frank and Glasgow.
Yes.
You know, the ability to use that double team to get up to the linebacker, that was just a tremendous block. Untouched by human hands, and you go 70 yards.
It was
a thing of beauty.
Yeah, and I guess technically not off tackle because it was run between the tackle and the guard. But my point is left side. Decker got the kick out block. Not to get too technical. 248-539-9797. Stu in Royal Oak, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say I don't want everyone to get, you know, sucked in by the fool's gold or that 52 points. You know, Malcolm Rodriguez still left the game. Our pass rush was abysmal, like everyone's pointing to. And, you know, we still need to get help.
I know. Not I just wish they were a good team.
Are we now that organization that, you know, we can just pluck and pull guys from our practice squad to fill in? Because if we don't get help, we don't have to go out and get Max Crosby or Miles Garrett, but we need some attention to the defensive line and the pass rush.
I think the Lions are very aware of that. I mean, Dan has mentioned it a couple of times, and that they're not getting enough production. So I don't ultimately know who they get, but I know that the phones are being worked, and they understand that. They realize that. I don't think they're glossing over that in either of these wins.
Yeah, and Stu, I don't think it's fool's gold in the sense that I think they're very aware of it. It's not like they're going to get high on their own supply here. I think they know what they still need to do. And I think it's encouraging that even though they're undermanned, they've come out and beat Minnesota in a big road game and then didn't have a letdown against Tennessee.
I'll give a ticket texter credit for this. I didn't realize this yesterday. The Patriots made Josh Uche a healthy scratch, and nobody really knows why. And some people are speculating that they held him out of the game because he's going to be dealt. Just throwing something out there.
He's on the list of guys that could help you. Is he going to provide a much better pass rush than Pascal? Yeah, because that's what he does. He's not going to be much of a run defender. And you're not going to get the package that you lost when you lost Aiden Hutchinson. But what you need help with is obviously the pass rush.
Boston.com. Uche, they want a fifth-round pick as they shop him. John, sound good to you?
Sold.
All right.
Done today. So some people have said this is a two-layered thing. What if you acquired Uche this week, you go play Green Bay, you see how you look, and then you still got 2 days to make the deadline to go to compound and make that move number two?
So I'm not a big fan of let's plug this in and see. And because I don't think that the Lions are operating that way. We heard from Dan last week. It wasn't that they were, let's see how we look against Minnesota or let's see how we look against Tennessee and then we'll decide. They knew right away they need help on the edge position because you have no Davenport and you have no Aiden Hutchinson.
Okay, I got some popcorn over here. You had Uche this week. You win next week, but you're still not happy with what you got. The Bengals go and lose to the Raiders. Hey, Trey Hendrickson, come on over. You want to eat that popcorn?
Ideally, that would be, I mean, that would be wonderful.
To John's point, I don't think they're going to take one game, even ones where they win or they look okay, and say, we're going to ignore what our eyes tell us.
And I'm not going to sit here and buy into the fool's gold. Okay, we have 52 points in a game, that has nothing to do with defense. And if Dan hadn't addressed the need for edge after a big time win in Minnesota, then I might start wonder if do they see the same thing we're seeing. But that wasn't the case. Right. He addressed it. They're even more aware now. Even though they won this game in dominant fashion, it wasn't because they were harassing Mason Rudolph.
Ticket Texter says DeMarcus Lawrence. Cowboys lost again. He's a power rusher. I'd have to look at his contract. This is just getting texted into us. He's hurt right now, but not expected to be out for much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have options, right?
They will, but they really need somebody on the edge.
Lawrence plays the edge, doesn't he?
You're not
saying he's like the...
They need somebody. They need a speed to power, okay. Not necessarily another power guy. Because I believe if all you want to do is bull rush and try and collapse the pocket...
They've got those guys.
Yeah. All right, so it's just maybe a better version, a much better version of Josh Pascal, but... It doesn't accomplish ultimately what they need to accomplish.
I think this is an encouraging thing that even when they win, they aren't lulled into a false sense of security. They've got 8 days till the trade deadline. They're winning, and it's good that they're winning while having these evaluations, as opposed to going, oh, we're letting this slip away while we canvass the market and lost this one and let this one get away. And now we're not. They're in first place in their division. They're in first place in the NFC. They're the best team in the NFC, arguably the best team in football, while still understanding and knowing their mortality and what they still need to do. Just got to deliver on it.